Reading from Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text Number 40. Translation. Thus, once upon a time, the forefather of living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. This is a transition verse. What we heard yesterday was the Supreme Lord suddenly disappeared. There's this dialogue between himself and Lord Brahma, and he suddenly disappeared, leaving behind him some instructions. Lord Brahma began fulfilling those instructions, and those instructions were specifically to recreate the universe with all living entities, just as it was previously. So then this verse, having been so instructed, Lord Brahma prepared himself to fulfill that instruction by situating himself in acts of religious and regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One cannot be situated in an exalted position without having undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. An unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal life. And Lord Brahma, in order to teach all concerned within the jurisdiction of his generations, taught the same principles of sense control for executing higher duties. He desired the welfare of all as servants of God, and anyone desiring the welfare of the members of his family and generations must conduct a moral religious life. The highest goal of moral principles is to become a devotee of the Lord, because a pure devotee of the Lord has all the good qualities of the Lord. On the other hand, one who is not a devotee of the Lord, however qualified he may be in the mundane sense of the term, cannot be qualified with any good quality worthy of the name. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Brahma and persons in the chain of disciplic succession, do not do anything to instruct their subordinates without acting accordingly themselves. End of purport. Prajapatir dharmapatir ekadan yaman yaman bhadram prajanam anvicham achishtat svartha kamaya. Thus, once upon a time, the forefather of living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. This is a symptom of a great soul. They're concerned about the welfare of others. And a very great soul, like Lord Brahma, is concerned about the welfare of all living entities. And they know what to do in order to do something. One must have the qualifications to do that something. So the qualification starts with the internal qualification. We'll say it the other way around. He didn't, desiring the welfare of all living entities, start a welfare organization. He something something smudge. He didn't form a political party and get together followers to go off and do some philanthropic work. For those who are spiritually qualified, a subset of that spiritual qualification is the sense that I need purity of heart in order to fulfill something. Because it's only by being an instrument of the Supreme Lord that I can fulfill something in a proper way. Nice understanding. Many examples of that come to mind. When the sons of King Prachinibari were requested by their father, I have some service for you. What is that? The service is, I would like you to assist me in my work as a prajapati. I would like to produce good praja. Can you assist me? You're our father. Your wish is our life. So they didn't run out and go find wives and produce children, because that could have been one response. But the first thing they did was they understood, I have to have the qualification to perform this function. And so they left home prepared to undergo 10,000 years of sacrifice in order to qualify themselves to be able to produce good praja. And that's it's a nice lesson for devotees that are householders and are considering, we've entered into household life for the purpose, one of the purposes is having God-conscious children. The first order of business is to qualify oneself before you can produce God-conscious children. Dogs and cats and mosquitoes can produce offspring. No difficulty, they're doing it all the time. And human beings are also doing it all the time. India is no exception. Offspring are produced all the time. But to produce a quality offspring and to have the qualifications to then give care to that quality offspring and fulfill the real purpose of bringing a soul into this world is to deliver them to the spiritual world, that requires great qualification. Or anything you can think of. Some service is assigned. The first thought of a great soul is how to qualify myself to do this important service. I need the requisite purity, minimum. Another example. It's not a scriptural, this is a contemporary example. We're internationally and in North America, we're having plans for planning succession of leadership rather than somebody goes away, so we have a big scurry to find somebody to take their place. Many of our GBC members are in the older age now, where we feel we need to be thinking who can take those services. And when someone takes those services, that leaves a vacancy. Who can take those services? And that leaves a vacancy. Who can take those services? So rather than just haphazard, there's consideration. We need to have a plan where quality persons can be brought into the stream of taking responsibility. And it requires training to do that. So scripturally, here's some very clear understanding that tapa, just like Brahma, in order to do his act of creating, first underwent tapa. Here it's niyaman, yaman, following injunctions and prohibitions, rules and regulations, and situating himself firmly in that position. We brought in some young people in America from children that had, well, now no longer children, but devotees that had gone through the Gurukula system and now are young adults. So we thought it would be a very nice thing to try to encourage them, because their whole life has been exposed to Krishna consciousness. But we found something was missing, and that something was missing was they didn't have very strong sadhana. They could sing bhajans all day long, but their sadhana wasn't so strong. And getting up in time for Mangalarti and some basics were not so strong. So we had to press the reset button and say, wait. This has to be strong so that there's purity. Because without purity and without setting an example, how can others follow? So let's pause a little bit and let's work on this sadhana program. Being fixed. Niyaman, yaman. And what was the contemplation behind that activity? Bhadram svartha kamaya. He wanted the welfare and the self-interest of all living entities. Like another example is Maharaj Ambarish. He was already so qualified, but he underwent a particular fast or particular austere way of observing Ekadashi for one full year, an Ekadashi Vrata for each Ekadashi for one full year. And what was his contemplation? Bhadram svartha kamaya. He was interested in the welfare of all of his citizens, because it's understood whatever a king does or whatever a leader does, the benefit of their pious credit goes to the citizens. So by undergoing this particular vrata, his citizens would get merit. Of course, the opposite is also there. If the citizens do meritorious work, the king shares in their meritorious work. And if they are engaged in abominable activities, the king shares in their abominable activities. Prithu Maharaj, when he made a public address to his citizens, his first words were thanking them for doing all of their meritorious work, because for their meritorious work he was receiving benefit. Of course, their appreciation was, because of your qualified leadership, we're following you. We're doing meritorious work. And it's your credit that permits us and inspires us to do as we are doing. So, karmically, there's this interconnection, but the duty or the nature of a great person is their inspiration, is selfless service. Another example is when the demigods lost control of the power of the heavenly planets because of another one of Indra's offenses. They, headed by Indra, they went to Lord Vishnu, who advised them, go to Dadichi and ask Dadichi for his bones. With the bones of Dadichi, you take the bones of Dadichi to Vishwakarma, and Vishwakarma can use those bones and he can fashion a thunderbolt weapon that will be able to defeat Ritrasura. So they went to Dadichi and said, excuse me, my dear sage, but could we have your bones? And for fun, he replied, Indra, don't you know the most dear thing to anybody is their body? What you're asking for, even if Lord Vishnu personally asked for one's body, is one ready to give it up? Please consider what you're asking. And Dadichi said, Indra said, being a very clever statesman, politician, said, oh, great sage, we know of your greatness. This is why Vishnu has sent us to you. Because the character of a great person is to sacrifice body, mind, and words in the service of all mankind. So surely you will be inspired to use your body for such a valuable service as regaining the kingdom from the demons, back placing the demigods in the kingdom of heaven. Surely, what greater sacrifice of body, mind, and words can there be there than this, O great sage? It was a flattery program. Dadichi responded saying, I was just having some fun. I wanted to see what you would say. Of course you can have my bones. And life in devotional service means the dedication of body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord. And that means the way that we live our lives, if we're living our lives properly in Krishna consciousness, our words are for Krishna, our actions are for Krishna, our energy is for Krishna, our intelligence is for Krishna, our wealth is for Krishna. Our everything is for Krishna. We're like some poets describe, we're like his kept animal. He can do with us whatever he likes. We're his. We're his property. And one who has such disposition, Krishna thinks that way about himself towards his devotee. I am their property. They can do with me whatever they like. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke like that when his devotee said, my dear Lord Chaitanya, you've come into this world to deliver all the fallen souls. Will you kindly, even those that are sinful, please deliver them all to the spiritual world? And if you feel that they're too sinful, then I'll volunteer, I'll accept their sinful reactions. Whatever that means, all those sinful reactions can come upon me. But just please deliver them. And Lord Chaitanya said to that devotee, I am your property. I declare it. Everyone should hear this and understand it clearly. I am his property. He can take me in the marketplace and sell me for whatever price he wants. I declare it again and again. I am his property. The devotee considers themselves the property of Krishna, and Krishna considers himself to be the property of his devotee. In the process of surrender, there are six items: accepting things favorable. These are the six items of surrender. Accepting things favorable for devotional service. You come across something that's favorable, accept it. Something that's disturbing or unfavorable for devotional service, you discard it. To recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead is my maintainer. It's not my work that's maintaining me. I'm working for him, and he's maintaining me. This is the mood of surrender to the Supreme Lord. He is my maintainer. Goptritve varanam tava. Rakshishatiti vishvaso. He's my protector. Humility is the fifth item. And full dedication of body, mind, and words to the service of the Lord. Atma Nivedana is the final. So, in commenting upon this, our acharyas describe that the statement from the devotee to the Lord is, my dear Lord, I am yours. And you are mine. It's not like you are mine in the sense that I put you in my pocket and I carry you around with me wherever I want and utilize God. Like we might utilize some money in our pocket or something that we think is ours. But we have the sense of possessiveness, which is part of conditioned life. Possessiveness is, this is mine, and I'm attached to this which is that which is mine. There's I and mine. And mine flows from I. So what I think of who I am determines what I think is mine. And if I am not this body, but spirit, soul, part and parcel of the Supreme, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. I am yours. That's who I am. Then what's mine? What flows from that conception of I? Krishna is mine. Or more specifically, our relationship with Krishna, that's our one possession. That's one thing that's mine. Is my loving service unto Krishna, my relationship with Krishna. And I don't consider anything else to be mine. In a position of full surrender. So in that position of full surrender, what the purport is describing is that Prajapati, Dharmapati, the forefathers and the father of religion, when he's interested, what is a qualified religious person interested in with their children? The children also become religious. So the parent has to set the example. Otherwise, how are the children going to know what religious is? And to teach, Prabhupada explained, it doesn't work to say, don't do as I do, but do as I say. Don't behave like me, but do what I say. Doesn't work. Like Prabhupada's example, if the parent is smoking cigarettes, they say to the child, you shouldn't smoke cigarettes. It's easy to understand example. What's the child going to, the young boy or girl or whatever it is, what are they going to think? You hypocrite. Don't drink. Don't speed when you drive your car. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Don't do what I do, but do what I say. It doesn't work. It doesn't inspire following. You take that into a broader scale. The government behaves in abominable ways and they expect their citizens to behave in nice ways. It doesn't work. So, because Lord Brahma has been given this service by the personality of Godhead to recreate the universe and populate as it was before all the different species, it starts from qualified souls. Because downstream from qualified souls, it becomes less qualified. It's entropy. It becomes more and more random. Less and less of a quality of purity. So those who are concerned with those who are their dependents must be of a high standard of purity. Must be. Brahma understood that. And what is the highest standard of purity? It's pure devotional service. So now how does that apply to us, practically speaking? One way it applies to us is, this is the Hare Krishna movement where we would like the scriptures instruct us to help the world become Krishna conscious. But how we can help the world become Krishna conscious if we're not Krishna conscious? Do as I say, not as I do. No good. To help the world become Krishna conscious, we have to become Krishna conscious. And set an example. This is what being Krishna conscious looks like. And if our behavior is bad and we say this is what Krishna consciousness looks like, it's not very encouraging. Our scriptures say this, our behavior is this, or is that, is something else. Not good. Rather, this is what our scriptures say, and this is what our body, mind, and words represent, what our scriptures say. That's compelling. When you meet a person who speaks according to the scripture and their life is an example of the scripture, that's compelling. And we should become like that. That's a tall challenge, isn't it? Know what the scriptures say, speak what the scriptures say, and exemplify what the scriptures say. That's what the message is of this morning's verse. And that standard of what we would like to give to others is the highest standard, pure devotional service. Here's what Prabhupada writes. The highest life of moral principles is to become a devotee of the Lord, because a pure devotee of the Lord has all the good qualities of the Lord. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavata kinchanai sarvayoganaistatra samasate sara, from the Bhagavatam. If we're truly situated in associating with the personality of Godhead, we'll take on qualities like the personality of Godhead by association. And if we're associating with the modes of nature, we'll exhibit the qualities of the modes of nature. According to association, we exhibit qualities. So we need to be for society. Individually and collectively, we need to be for society something pure. Very nice example, quickly, is a description of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We don't hear so much about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but he went to Vrindavan at a time when there were about 3 or 4 generations after Narottam Das Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya, 6 Goswamis, disciplic succession I'm going through now, Jiva Goswami, Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda. Then disciples of Narottam Das Thakur for 3 generations introduced Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to the teachings of pure devotion in West Bengal, because they were sent to outside of Vrindavan. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur went back to Vrindavan. And when he went back to Vrindavan, imagine what several generations without having readily available and abundantly visible teachings of pure devotion, things had gone down. So just by his spiritual influence, things came up again. Or when Sanatana and Rupa went there, even the places of Krishna's pastimes were lost. So what did they do? They gave their association to people in general, to the Brijvasis. And everyone came up. Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now this is a great acharya. Each of these personalities. Within India at the time, the respectability of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was gone. In fact, the opposite. There were so many upasampradayas that when persons heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name, they thought, oh. Because they had deviated in very impure ways, but wearing Vaishnav tilak and Vaishnav dress. So he, by spiritual influence, he brought respectability back to Lord Chaitanya and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and he went beyond India to the world. And encouraged his son, and his son encouraged Prabhupada to make the world Krishna conscious, was the inspiration of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our great acharyas. So we don't have such capacity. We can't, don't even have such capacity to think on that level. But at least the level of interaction that we have, we need to situate ourselves, just as this verse is describing. Ekada niyaman yaman. Become situated in regulated life to purify ourselves with the growing, nurturing the desire, the growing desire within our heart to bhadram prajanam anvichcham atishtat svarthakamaya. Find through the medium of devotional service, the betterment, the bhadram, bringing auspiciousness into this world. In chapter 1 of Nectar of Devotion, the chapter is titled, The 6 Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service. And this is one of them, that the awakening of all auspiciousness as a result of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan, the congregational chanting, and the purification that comes from congregational chanting. So we need to be so qualified and bring these pure activities into the world. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? We need to do it. We need to purify ourselves and take these pure teachings and practices and pure lifestyle into the public so it's accessible to the public. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam are identical. They parallel one another perfectly. Lord Chaitanya's teachings are the life of the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we study Srimad Bhagavatam and we live our lives as devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they're like, integrally connected. It's not separate. We read the Bhagavatam and then we go about our life, and then we read the Bhagavatam and then we go, and they're two separate things. Boys, please behave. They're not separate. So we need to live the Srimad Bhagavatam. We need to bring the Srimad Bhagavatam within our hearts and within our lives and live our day-to-day lives in that way. This is the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It guides, it's meant to guide our life theistically and spiritually. Just like this verse. We're all going to get up from here and go somewhere and do something. Because we have some duties to do. Just like Brahma had a duty to do. So to make sure he could effectively do that duty, this is what he did. And that's what we should do when we get up here and go about whatever we're going to do with the rest of our day and the rest of our life. Situate ourselves in theistic conduct to purify our existence and direct our activities for the welfare of all living beings, or at least those living beings that we come in contact with, by that purity that has been gifted to us. By this very process, the hearing and chanting, the Bhagavat Dharma process. It's practical, it works. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any comments or questions? You heard his question? Yes? No? In the back, did you hear? No. It's nice coming to the temple of inspiration, excitement, spiritual purification, and then go outside the temple and, oh no! Distraction, attachments, delusion, bewilderment. How to put the two together? Krishna consciousness after we walk outside the temple. I want the people in the back to be able to hear, so if you could speak into the microphone, that would be nice.
Maharaj, when as soon as we are in the temple and we are doing Krishna conscious activities like chanting,
it's very nice.
It's very nice.
Very nice. We go outside and it's not very nice.
Not very nice, and then
our attachments and delusion and bewilderment. And so, you want a solution. One solution, just stay here. But we'll give you another option also. The other option is, you carry that consciousness with you. Is consciousness, spiritual consciousness, created by external circumstances, or is it something that springs from within? Okay, from within. You take that from within when you go outside, and you do it regularly, 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 and you'll carry that consciousness with you. Now, if you're not at this stage carrying that consciousness with you, does that mean it doesn't work? No, it doesn't mean it doesn't work. It's your conditioning is substantial. Conditioning to the degree that when you go outside and see the billboards and hear the noise and see people dealing nasty with each other, and you know, the mind starts to get agitated. I don't like to see people deal nasty with each other. I don't like to hear all those noises. I don't like to see all those billboards and all those smells. And because your consciousness left Krishna and went abroad to the field of the material energy, thinking this pleases me, this doesn't please me. One needs to stay concentrated, compact. Prabhupada used the word fixed up. Your consciousness goes to Krishna and stay fixed up on Krishna. Krishna thought can certainly be concentrated in any external situation. So now, how to practically serve Krishna when the externals are so disturbing? That may take some training and some practice, but it's certainly possible. Now, even for our brahmacharis that live in the temple, it's not that we live a cloistered lifestyle. We don't stay within our four walls and go, you know, we can't go outside because our mind's going to get agitated. We go out and perform Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution and preaching and all prasadam distribution and festivals and all kinds of things. But we're giving Krishna. Giving. And that's protection. So when you go out in your own way, according to your own personality and your own convictions, you can be thinking, how can I give this experience to other people? You may not even say it, you may not even do anything, but if you're thinking that way, you're looking for an opportunity provided by Krishna. How can I share with these people? I was having this discussion yesterday evening with a teenage girl who was saying how tough it is at school because kids tease me because I practice this way and I dress this way and I won't do those things and eat those things and talk those things. And they tease me. Oh, you're Mirabai, are you? And so forth. So how does a teenage... It's far more challenging for a teenager than for you. Because your faculties and your whole, you know, your maturity is much greater. A sense of acceptance. If there's an internal place that gives you a Krishna conscious connection, Krishna, in your praying to Krishna or desiring from Krishna from some opportunity to share this with other people, Krishna will give you the opportunity. And where there isn't the opportunity, you'll be seeing according to the modes of nature. Oh, look, mode of ignorance. That's very interesting. Look at that variety of the mode of passion. That's very interesting. It's just a display of the illusory energy. And the conditioned souls are thinking, that's me. But you're not thinking that's them. That's just the illusory energy. And there's all these spirit souls dazzled by the spectacle of the illusory energy. How fortunate I am that I have this knowledge of transcendental life. How can I share it with others? I'm not so developed yet. I need to really develop so that I can share with purity, with conviction. And when there's purity and conviction, that'll attract the hearts. Innocent people, sincere people. I'm not there yet. I need to keep... But I'd like to come to that position where I can share this with others. Because that's what our temple devotees are doing. They go out and share with others. It's protection. Minimally, let's say at your workplace, something minimally that you can do is take prasadam. You don't have to tell them it's prasadam. You have to say Krishna's name. Just give them prasadam. Watch the magic happen. Wow, that was good. Then the next day or next week you bring something, and then, you know, as soon as they see you, they're salivating. What do you got this time? Giving. And this protection. Then you can think of some other ways to give. Just by your own qualities you're giving. Your quality, your presence in the workplace, being Krishna conscious, is having a spiritual impact on others, even if you say nothing. But in course of time, when they see there's some quality about you that's different, you don't get disturbed and flipped out when everybody's, you know, fighting over something. You know, you didn't finish the project on time. It's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. And all the backbiting and all this stuff people do. You don't do any of that stuff. You're always very calm and happy. What's your program? And then you can tell them. But just by being Krishna conscious, it's having an impact on people. So be sure of that. Take it to a much higher degree, and it's easy to see. Just the presence of a saintly person on the planet is auspicious. Take that saintly person away from the planet and everything collapses. But we're not of that caliber, but the same principle applies. I can be of service to those who I interact with, this city of Hyderabad and wherever I may go, just by carrying Krishna consciousness inside. And then whatever interactions there may be, it'll be Krishna conscious, because the place is Krishna, that the interaction is coming from is Krishna conscious.
When you're in such mood, always, I am actually, I'm trying as much as I can.
Keep cultivating it.
Something when you see outside, they disturb a lot. Like, it's not matter, but they really, they shake you. Like, when you see something which are not, which is normal, and then they shake you really, they disturb you a lot. Why do they disturb you?
It disturbs because the mind is weak. There's some either desire / attraction, or the other side, repulsion. And repulsion is the flip side of attraction. Yeah, attracted to that, I want to enjoy, and this isn't enjoyment, it's repulsion. But the transcendentalist is neutral. He sees it's illusory energy. Not identifying with matter, identifying with sat. Very elementary. Nasate vijate bhavo na bhavo vijate sata ubayor api drishton tas tranios tatvadarshi bihi. The tatvadarshis don't place value in asat. Why is there disturbance? Because I place value in asat. Why do I place value in asat? Because I've lost track of sat. A little glittering object may be attractive in darkness, like the example of a glowworm or a firefly at night. Oh, look at that. But when the sun comes out, you don't even see the glowworm or the firefly. It's nothing in the light of the sun. So in darkness, it seems to be, you know, of some substance, but there's tasat. So that's why the disturbance comes. Because our transcendental consciousness is not sufficiently illumined. When our transcendental consciousness is illumined, the greater misfortune is that living beings are captivated chasing after this illusion. And that's suffering. They've lost their real happiness. And that can be ourselves also. We forget Krishna. Something else? Yes, over here.
How to understand our level of Krishna consciousness and then take steps accordingly in our life so that we can nurture our desire to serve Krishna in a progressive manner.
I didn't follow.
How to understand our level of Krishna consciousness? Where we stand?
How do we understand the level of Krishna consciousness?
Where we stand? And, what is our...
How do we understand our level of Krishna consciousness?
What is my standing in Krishna consciousness? So that...
About our chanting? Okay, what is our standing in Krishna consciousness?
So, accordingly I can take steps.
This is a... Can you narrow the topic down a little bit? It's a really broad topic. I mean, let me have the microphone here. There are many standards or measures. One, it's repeated as a refrain in the Bhagavatam and other scriptural writings, is the Kanishtha Madhyama and Uttama standards and their characteristics. Of the Kanishtha characteristics, of the Madhyama characteristics, of the Uttama. Are you familiar with these? Yes. Now, in the Gaudiya Math, they have then further divisions. The Kanishtha Kanishtha, the Madhyama Kanishtha, and the Uttama Kanishtha. The Kanishtha Madhyama, the Madhyama Madhyama, the Uttama Madhyama. So they're degrees, and they're just categories, and then there's subcategories of those categories. One measure of all three is faith. And where does our faith go? Another measure is attraction for sense objects, or the absence of it. There's some standard or measure of our progress in spiritual life. Or, conversely, our attraction for hearing. There's uttama, attraction for hearing. There's beginning, attraction for hearing. The prakriti bhakta is attracted when they see newspapers. And like, you know, when I travel in airplanes, everybody's reading at least 3 or 4 newspapers. There's hardly an exception. They read one and they read another and they read another and they read another. The whole flight is they're reading newspapers. It's not like that in America. It's this thing in India. People are addicted to tea and newspapers. So when one becomes attracted, like, you know, where does your mind go when there's free time? Are you thinking, let me create some free time so I can read Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam some more? Is that where the mind goes? That subject that you're attracted to hear, chant and remember. It's a measure or a standard. Your eagerness for taking association of devotees. These are some general standards that one can regard. There's a written question. This is about do as I say, not as I do. As a sadhaka, how can I train my child to the highest principles and standards of devotion when I myself am struggling to follow the standards? The answer is you can't. The answer is, in order to train others, you have to have that same quality yourself. Or, say it more directly, whatever quality you have, that's the quality you're going to train. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. From the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada would regularly quote that and say, whatever the qualities are that one carries, whatever qualities one carries, that's determined by the quality of association that you keep. So, practice in the proper way, and then you can train your children in the proper way. If you're struggling, then here's what the kids say. Don't expect to meet to be Prahlad Maharaj while you're Hiranyakashipu. They're blunt. You want to do whatever you want to do, but you want me to be Prahlad Maharaj. Hypocrite. I've heard kids say like that. So we want the best for our children, and that means we need to be the best. It doesn't happen otherwise. Okay, it's 9:30. I'm going to end the class. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.